if you think we were leaving the Fall Stars game, you were with Colette and you guys went over to Whataburger, and Spore, we just went back to the hotel where we're all going to play poker, and me and him went to go get some dinner, and we're driving, and I grab my phone for directions, and then I pick up my phone, I turn it on, and he just audibly gets, he goes, and I'm like, what? And he's like, you don't use night mode? And I'm like, no. And he's like, what are you, savage? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Apparently,
yeah, animal.
It is offensive to not use night mode all the time.
I started using night mode like a month ago.
I don't like it.
I don't know. I didn't like it at first, but I like it now.
Like all the time? Or do you just have your phone at night? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll try it out now that I know how to take it off. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think it's that big of a difference.
I feel like I can see the
doesn't make an impact on my life, Welsh, because I don't use social media anyway.
That's true. I mean, what would it matter to you? You only look at it once or twice every quarter, every blue moon.
Right, exactly. So
blue or white, whatever the screen is, doesn't matter.
Blue moon. Now I'm thirsty. Let's
go get a little blue moon.
That's right. Let's go get a blue moon.
I don't drink blue moon anymore.
Are you too good for blue moon? Is that what it is?
No, I think a long time ago, I might have offhandedly talked about a story somewhere in one of our shows about an infamous New Year's Eve that I had. And it was this party in Phoenix.
Blue moon?
Well, dude, it was this like $1 million house in Phoenix that was these guys rented. And I knew some bros. And this is like when I was, you know, totally legal to drink, by the way, totally. That's when it was. And this big house in the middle of the desert, and it was a New Year's Eve party. They rented some adult entertainment, and there were 100, 200 people.
Why wasn't I invited to this?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It was just
was this your scumbaggy friends that I didn't like?
There was a version of them with these people weren't. I mean, these people had money. They had this huge house, and they had all the liquor and party. It was just crazy. But what they had was they had downstairs this keg. You know, it's probably Bud Light or something. But then the upstairs were kegs of Blue Moon. So I made my way upstairs and I was just boom, 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 Blue Moon. And then I told that it was the story where I blacked out some point around 10:45 and I reemerged onto the universe around 1 a.m. And I did one of the like, what time is it?
Traveling.
What time is it? And someone's like, it's one. And I'm like, oh, Happy New Year. And then I knocked like 7 glasses off the roof of the house. Yeah, and I was
sounds
a mess.
Like you.
Yeah, it was a mess.
You like when you're super drunk, you turn into Baby Huey. You just cannot be trusted around fragile things.
I mean, I'm 6 foot practically. I'm 6 foot four.
Baby Huey.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's hard. Like I turn around and I'm going to knock some crap over.
You're like Hodor when you're drunk.
Like I can't hold Hodor. The door. Someone hold me. Hold me. So yeah, that's why I don't drink Blue Moon anymore. I similar vodka story. I don't do vodka and I don't do Blue Moon.
Yeah, vodka was my 21st birthday.
Kind of everybody's. Pop off.
Yeah. Just the cheapest
little
white
Soviet,
trash.
Little Soviet, right. Little Chernobyl vodka.
Yeah. Yes, comrade. Yeah.
Yes, comrade. Yeah, we've all been there, Bogner. We've all been on the floor with holding a handle that's plastic.
Right. Plastic handle.
It's not good for anybody.
White trashiest.
It is. All right. Couple more. We were on the other side of the break, unless people are just tuning in. We were doing some fantasy baseball second half turnarounds. So guys that have really struggled in the first half, even though the All-Star game.
Guys that drank all the pop-off in the first half.
Yeah. Can they sober up in the second?
Much better in the second half. That's
drink
right.
Nothing but water or electrolytes because it's coffee. What makes the, what's the line?
It's what got plants what plants need. Crave.
It's what plants crave. We should do a live.
Electrolytes.
Should do a live viewing of that movie. I would love.
That's the just the Alamo Draft House. You know,
yeah, great.
We're gonna do a viewing of Idiocracy. They're like, nobody does that. Come on, what do you guys do?
We do. I mean, we have no pull out here in Arizona, anyways. So
no
doesn't matter. All right, so we're continuing with some of the underperformers, first half hitters, and then we'll go some pitchers, and then next segment we're gonna do a little bit of fantasy football. So I just got a couple more now. I think this is an easy one. Our man, woman listener, the very good
woman listener,
Instagram model who's catfishing Bogman, who's clearly a man.
Once again,
but
post never
pictures
been
as a woman. All right. I mean, you
spent the money, by the way. I've spent no money.
Well, because you said I lost the bet. I didn't lose the bet.
Because you lost the bet.
Okay. Well, he had asked you about Eloy Jimenez and should he drop Eloy? And should we laughed. Right. And Eloy just dropped two homers on Friday night. But leading up, he was only hitting .236, but he's now got 11 homers. So this is a...
I think he's hit five in the last week.
This is an easy second half turnaround, though, right?
Oh, hell yes.
From an average perspective.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. Because I'm comfortable with that. I mean, we're team Eloy through and through.
Yeah. Not team Eloy.
Eloy. No. No team Eloy. Let me look and see... Oh, what about Brian Dozier, Pox? .232, 10 homers. He's already kind of started the turnaround a little bit, though. He is 0 for his last seven, but he had a couple hits before that. What do you think about Dozier?
I'm into it, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Let's try it with Dozier. Yeah, you try it once, you know. Try that Todd Gurley stuff. And, yeah, I'm into it. Yeah, right. He's a second-half guy, so I think you'd have to say yes.
Okay. Let's go to some pitchers. I want to take it a few pitchers here. Here's a really good one. Aaron Nola had a preseason rank of 34. As far as this Yahoo list, looks like he comes in as the eighth pitcher, but he's over 300 on his current rank. He does have six wins, 86 strikeouts, but a 4.5 ERA and almost a 1.5 whip. Of the pitchers on this, you know, like the front page that it shows, there's some relievers on here. 25 pitchers are shown. Nobody has a worse whip than Aaron Nola except for Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber's atrocious year, but he's only had 35 total innings. Nobody, though, of the top 25 pitchers on the preseason list on Yahoo has a worse whip than Aaron Nola. So second half, can he turn this around enough to drop that ERA to under 4 and get that whip down a bit and get in some more wins?
So give me what does he have to come all the way down to be considered?
Well, he's got a 4.58 ERA.
Right. I think so. What does that have to be, like 4.3?
No, ERA. No way, dude. The ERA has got to get under 4. I think he's got to have like a 3.7.
I'm going to say no. Then I think he's done too much damage and he keeps going like good start, bad start here. So I'm just going to go ahead and say no.
If he walked out of the season with a over 4 ERA, it doesn't matter first or second half. It's a garbage year. So he has to have probably a sub 3 to under 3. Yeah, like a sub 3 ERA the rest of the way through to knock that down to around 3.5. I mean, I guess if you do the math, it'd be around a 2.5 ERA the rest of the way to get it down to 3.5.
Yeah, and he just hasn't performed like that this year. So I'm going to have to say no.
Too far gone?
Too far gone, yeah.
Well, same story then. Noah Syndergaard. 42 on the preseason rank, 10 as far as pitchers go. Very similar numbers, 4 wins, 4.45 ERA. Whip is lower, though, 1.2, 88 strikeouts. I mean, they are identical except for that whip. Nola's got a few more wins. What about Noah Syndergaard? Can he get that ERA around the 3.5 range, do a complete turnaround, get into the high double digits, you know, maybe 12, 13 wins? Only got 4 on the year.
I think he can just because of the... Like, he's had the blow up. Like, I'm looking at his starts. It's 8 innings, 6 strikeouts, you know, 2 runs, 7 innings, 2 runs, 3 strikeouts, 6 innings, 3 runs, 6 and 2/3, 3 runs, 7 innings, no runs. But then he had the 5 and a third with, I think that's 5 or 6 runs. So I think he's more leaning towards the blow up as of recent. So I think he can. It's not this every other game is good or bad like Aaron Nola is. So I'll say yes for Noah Syndergaard.
So would you trade Nola for Syndergaard?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Well, that's a very good answer. Now, let me look at this one real quick. This is a tough one. I want to ask it, though, because I feel like this has come up a lot. Well, it's not that this guy is actually – his numbers don't look atrocious. If you would have been told these numbers, I think he'd have been fine. The problem is how good he was in the first half to the second half. You know what I'm saying? Like the first half of the half really good, and then he kind of bombed out. It's Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer was the 12th pitcher on the list, 44 overall preseason. He's post 100, 124 is a current rank, 109 strikeouts, which is up, you know, in the Garrett Cole, Chris Sale type of range. But he only has 4 wins. And a 3.17 ERA and a 1.18 whip. So
3.71.
Yeah, 3.71. Sorry, not 3.17. 3.71 ERA. So like I said, he was incredible in the first half, but he's had some blowups as of recent. May 6th, you know, he got blown up. May 16th, he got blown up. He's had a couple good starts. Two of his last three have been good, but they've kind of been questionable since. So what I'm asking is, do you think Trevor Bauer, do you think he can beat the numbers starting right here? 99 innings pitched with 109 strikeouts with a 3.7 ERA. Do you think this second half he can have more wins, a lower ERA, and a lower whip?
Yeah,
I do. Or will he?
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to say yes to that, too.
You believe the turnaround?
I do. I mean, I don't like the guy, and his xFIP isn't helping him out in this argument, a 4.53. But we've seen him be really good before. So I think that he can. I'm not invested in Trevor Bauer at all. So I can kind of sit here and say, well, yeah, I think he can, because I don't have to, you know, feel trade offers or anything for him. But I think he can put it together. I think what he needs is the All-Star break. So he's going to have however many, whatever, three or four starts before the All-Star break. The All-Star break comes, and then we'll see him have a big second half, because he was loading up in that second half last year before he, you know, had the freak accident and broke his leg. So, you know, I think that he can have an absolutely huge second half. I don't like him. I don't like his face. Like we mentioned before, I don't like what he stands for. I'm not a huge Trevor Bauer fan, but I think he can be fine for your fantasy team.
So, okay, this is going to be a little bit of a different one.
Don't invite him home for dinner.
Do not. No. Or let your daughter date.
Yes.
Madison Bumgarner has been good. 3.8 ERA. And now I know we just said Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer's numbers, like I said, they weren't bad. It was just first to second kind of change. But Madison Bumgarner was thrown on the garbage heap. I mean, we had really, really smart dudes across the fantasy baseball industry on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast just railing on Madison Bumgarner preseason. Going to be outside the top 50 SPs. He's done. He's trash. He's garbage. 108 was his preseason rank. Probably pitcher, including relievers, around like 35 or something like that, if you include relievers on Yahoo. He's keeping in around the inside 200 at 187. He only has three wins, but he has 84 strikeouts in 87 innings, a 3.83 ERA, and a 1.16 whip, which is pretty damn good. That's a solid season. So what I'm actually asking you is, can he maintain the seasons that he has in the second half, or do you think he's going to fall apart, and that would kind of indicate him being a trade guy right now?
Man, I think I would trade him I think he can maintain, but if he gets flipped, also, you know, is he going to go to the AL where the pitcher, he doesn't know the hitters as well? That could be a thing. You know, the catcher, the ballpark, all that stuff could change if he winds up getting traded. So he's doing well, but he's still only 3-6 because he plays for the Giants, but the ballpark's got to be helping him too. You know what? I'm going to say yes, he can hold, because he is a good pitcher, and we've seen him do it before. I'm you know, his xFIP is 3.92, and his, you know, ERA is 3.83, so he's right in line there. His K per nine is up to a more normal standard for him. It's like right in line with his career total. His walk per nine is below his career total. So I'm going to say yes, he can.
All right. So I kind of want to keep with this now. Ryu. Hyunjin Ryu with the Dodgers.
No, first he'll half, get hurt.
Well, okay, hold on. First half, he's the second overall pitcher, fourth overall player, 77 strikeouts, 86 innings pitched, 9 wins, which is holding him up in the rank values, a 1.36 ERA and a 0.8 whip. He's standing up there with Verlander because he's got a better ERA. He's got the same amount of wins. Whip is close. The reason Verlander obviously is above is the 125 strikeouts. He's up there. Take away the injury for a minute. Can Ryu's performance continue in how he's 1.36 ERA, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball? Take away, you know, he's going to get hurt. Can he, will he, performance-wise, stick where he's at in the second half? Or is he going to balloon up?
I think he's going to balloon up. I mean, if you But if you ask me this about anybody, you know, it wouldn't make, if you ask me this about Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, if but they like were pitching okay, this well.
In a negative way, though. Like, sure, if he balloons up and he has a 2.97 ERA in the second half, that does, I'm saying, does he blow up in the second half, having a 4.5 ERA, or is he going to continue his dominance?
It doesn't matter to me, to be honest.
It doesn't matter.
He's going to get hurt. Like, he's always hurt. So
you don't believe in the second half. That's the best way to put it, then.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. So,
all right. Well, that's fun stuff. Well, you guys want more? I don't know. Maybe we'll play around with this on the next edition of ITL Fantasy Baseball. I think we might do some player debates, too. It'll be a Father's Day edition for Bogman and I. And we're going to do some listener questions, some other fun stuff. So make sure you check that out for more baseball talk on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast. Two more segments coming up. Fantasy football for all you footballers. So don't go anywhere. More In This League live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network right after the break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League
is cooking.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening up a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book. Go to FanDuel.com/grid where you're going to receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet up to $500 when you open a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. That is pretty awesome. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports. And you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. Open your account and claim your free wager up to $500. I would love $500 right now. What would you do for $500 right now,
Bob? I like money.
What would you do? What would you not do for $500?
I think that's the better question. A lot of stuff I do for $500. So.
You do some Todd Gurley stuff?
I mean, maybe, you know. Why doing the Todd Gurley stuff?
Craigslist used to be a place you could earn that $500, right?
I like that was the funny people joke when they remember when they were at MySpace. It's like, who has more friends, Tom or Craig? You know, they're like, Tom has more friends, but Craig's got crazier friends. That's for sure.
No one loves that movie more than
that movie's so funny. It's too long.
Once again, that movie alive.
Once again, it's a movie that's way too long, and the plot is just okay, I would say, but the funny parts are so funny.
I mean, you quote that. If you can get one or two quotes in a month, I think you're happy. Love that movie.
It's funny, man.
I don't think I've seen it in years.
It's on, you know, it's like, I think HBO or Showtime, one of the channels, like, you know, they'll just run it every other month.
See, that's my problem. That's our big difference between us. Like, you have the TV on in the background. Stuff is on. You'll just change the channels. You have things going on in the background.
Well, you have to have cartoons on all the time in the background.
But I have nothing. I don't have stuff ever on because when I'm home, I'm just playing with the kids. And yeah, you're right. Like, if I am, the moments that
I have no family and no friends, no job. Like you pointed out to me a bunch of times, so I can just do whatever I want.
You can. I don't have TNT on to watch Funny People or HBO. Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't watch, I would never watch any movie that is either violent or hilarious with a bunch of curse words on like a TNT or TBS.
The only thing you can watch on TNT or TBS is like Transformers. That's it.
The only thing I watch on TNT is basketball. That's it.
That's a good point. That too. You know how good lots I felt having like I the other day when the NBA Finals was on, I had it on at my house. I felt like the king of the jungle. Like my kids were around and I was like, nope, this is what's on today. I felt like words I'm not sure if I can say. You know, I've always said this, Bogman. If you're not sure if you can say something, you probably shouldn't say it. That's right. Why I felt like I was about to head.
You don't have anything nice to say. Don't say anything at all. Is that what you're abiding by right now?
It was with an analogy. I mean, I could attempt it here, but I don't think it's right. Ooh, what I'm about to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, let's hear your analogy. I like that.
Well, now I'm trying to
break
really,
open that cliche book.
I'm second guessing. It was all right. The cock of the roost. Is that right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Why don't you open up the cliche book and see if it's in there?
The cock of the roost.
I bought you that cliche book.
Let's see if Google can figure out. Google doesn't know what I'm talking about. Somebody out there knows what I'm trying to say. The
cock of the walk?
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. The cock of the roost, you said.
What does that even mean?
I don't know
what I was trying to say?
I think you owe me $100. I think that's
no, I don't think so. Context is very important. Whatever.
Context is important.
I was puffing my chest out when I had basketball on, and my kids were like, "Can we watch our programs?" And I was like, "Nope."
Yeah.
You can watch basketball or you can get out.
Man, so what you're saying is you pay all the bills and you got to turn your TV on to what you want to watch. Man, what a novel concept.
Not all superheroes wear capes, Bachman. I'm telling you, sometimes
some
you
of
put
them live
down.
In swamps.
Some of them get their swamp show canceled.
What? What do they get? What?
Their swamp show canceled.
Oh.
Say that three times.
That was pretty close to $100 right there. Yeah.
Well, it's never going to happen.
Should we just cancel the bet?
Nah, but I think it's fun. People that don't understand it, just deal with it. But there are people that love the conversation of the $100 bet. So fantasy football and football in general next week or this coming week, I suppose, the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast is coming back. We are doing some planning. Got a first episode locked up. I think we're going to be doing one episode just kind of dedicated to relooking at some of the uniqueness of last year, where guys finished out, maybe some second half stuff. And then we're going to be jumping into some mock drafts. And then as we go, I mean, you know, we'll do as we do. We do tons of mock drafts over at ITL, and we want to entertain you as those go on. So they are usually our listeners' favorite stuff. We will have rank episodes. We will have rank analysis. We'll have on guests. We're going to go full on, full bore. I know lots and lots of fantasy people love to hear themselves talk, and they want to think that they're the most important people in all of the land as much as we do. We also want to bring on fun people. We want to try some different stuff, and we want to give you a full spectrum of fantasy football coverage, and that's what we will do on the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast. But, Bogman, we're going to talk a little bit about some football going on because we do have some camp notes that are going on, best shape of their life. And as I saw, my favorite tweet maybe of the week was a guy that says, for the 20th straight year, no rookie has looked bad in early camps. This is a fantastic sign for the season to come. I will report more when I hear back.
That's you're never going to hear too much smack being talked about any rookie at this point, right? Right. I mean, because why would they go and ruin those guys' confidence this early?
Well, and also it's like the minor league thing. Like, you know, a guy is struggling in low A and they're like, we'll give him time. He's young. He's still learning. That's what you kind of have with, you know, like early camps. It's like, don't worry about that.
It's the excuse machine. You know, you're always going to get an excuse for everybody. But this was my favorite note of minicamp, the Welsh. Mike Silver says the transition to new offensive coordinator Todd Monken for the Browns has not gone as smoothly as planned.
Ooh.
So let's put the brakes on the Browns hype train right here, right now. Right, Welsh?
I mean, it's over. Cleveland had 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's going slow and it's June, so it must be over because the football starts
good,
in
though?
September.
This is good. I feel like that's coming from a realism that they're willing to come out there and say those type of things.
Yeah, I think so. I will say that there seems to be trouble in paradise right now with these Browns because you had the Baker Mayfield saying this stuff about Duke Johnson. Did you see that?
No, what was that? I mean, Duke did come out and say, I still want to be traded. So I can't imagine that's going over well.
Yeah, he said, you know, this is a business and all that stuff, but this is our train. You can either get on or get out of the way. That's what he said. And some of the veterans.
Really stupid.
Yeah, but some of the veterans had to sit him down and say, well, what were you thinking?
What
man?
Were you even like, meaning?
Yeah, what were you thinking and what were you meaning?
Were you drinking again? I don't know if he's ever drunk. Is he?
He drank and ran away from the cops. You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah. You know what? For some reason, my brain still does the Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield thing occasionally.
That's not good company to
keep. It's not. It is what it is.
There's some other nice ones here. You know, Randall Cobb and Dak Prescott have made a fast connection at Cowboys camp. So you like to hear that. This
definitely
one,
by the way, a revamped receiving core Dallas is going to look like from take last year Cooper at the start of the year now. But also, dude, look at the start of this year. Cooper, Cobb, and Jason Witten is back.
And Michael Gallup in his second year.
Dallas is dangerous this year.
And Zeke had all that experience catching the ball out of the backfield last year.
Yeah.
So, Dak Prescott, maybe a little bit of a sleeper here. Leonard Fournette expects to be a big part of the receiving game in Jacksonville this year, and Nick Foles has been impressed by him.
I think I saw Fournette tweet something where he's like, I've caught over 1,000 yards in the last 4 days of practice. I think that was from him that I saw he was going through. So, I mean, that's interesting. That would be a welcomed piece to add to his game, but also maybe a higher propensity for him to get hurt because it's his favorite thing. Loves getting hurt.
I mean he's been banged up. I have to admit that, but the guy is so good. You know, I just the upside on him is incredible. So you can keep doubting him, and then the year that he plays 16 games, everyone is going to be like, where did that come from?
It's the year 2030. If he does what
he
does,
10 games this year, I'm out.
Okay, like, that's where I wanted to go. Because if he does like 13 games this year, you
13
said 10,
is fine.
No.
He's a running back.
Running
backs get hurt. 13 is fine for me. As long as the last three aren't, you know.
So 10, you're out. But if he only plays 13, you're still in?
I'm still in.
That's ridiculous.
Well, why is that ridiculous?
Because
running backs get hurt all the time. They handle the ball more than anybody. Each running back is going to miss a game, it seems, almost every year. Not,
but 15 games or even 14 games is fine. 13 games is worrisome. That is the start of worry.
I wish you could see me rolling my eyes at you right now.
I'm rolling my eyes at you.
13 games is not that big a deal. I expect this is why you draft backup running back so high. You expect your guys to miss games. It happens.
Yeah, if you draft, you know what? You're right. If you draft Fournette, you should expect him to miss games.
You should. Yes. And look, I don't like drafting guys that come with conditions. And this is a dude that comes with conditions. You have to go and draft a good backup early.
And pulls and, all those things.
He's got all the stuff. Yeah, but he's a running back. I mean, running backs get hurt. You wouldn't get mad at Marlon Mack this year if he sprained his knee and missed 4 or 5 games. You would say, yeah, that's part of it.
But if it was his third straight year of getting hurt, I would.
Okay, but David Johnson blood his knee 2 years ago. Are you holding that against him? He missed 16 games.
That's not 3 years.
It's 2 years ago.
Yeah, and if he misses 3 years, I will hold it against him. If he holds straight years, I will hold it against him.
You're just doing this to make me
I'm
mad.
Not.
You're trying to make me lose $100.
You I did the right Gronkowski thing. It was like, he never plays it. What's different about Leonard Fournette?
Leonard Fournette's been in the league for 2 years.
Yeah, and he's been a loser.
2 years. 2 seasons he's been in the league. Give the guy a break. Jesus.
He has too many breaks.
He had Blake Bortles as his quarterback.
Stop
breaking.
What
was he supposed to do? Face nine guys stacked in the box every single play?
He's fragile.
Oh, whatever. Frank Reich wants Marlon Mack to carry the load for the Colts this year. She like that? Gotta like that.
I love that, actually. I love Marlon Mack. Except
Marlon Mack or Leonard Fournette?
Based on value, Marlon Mack.
Okay. All right. I hate you. Philadelphia
Leonard
Inquirer.
Fournette? You'll take Leonard Fournette in the second, not Marlon Mack in like the fourth?
I think Marlon Mack's going to get a boost. But yeah, I would take Fournette over Mack.
Nyheim Hines is still in the offense. He said he wants 1,000 total yards this year.
I don't think Hines is going to get there. You know, Hines took a lot of snaps in the slot last year, and that's going to be Paris Campbell this year. So I like Hines, but I don't know. I think that people are going to draft him expecting, you know, James White-ish numbers, and you're just not going to get it. So Philadelphia Inquirer says Dallas Goedert looked capable of making a second year leap into stardom. Doug Peterson has talked about using more two tight end sets this year. I like Dallas Goedert, but it's a pretty big win. It's pretty big to jump over Zach Ertz. I just don't think
That's annoying, though. That the whole offense is annoying in Philadelphia. Okay, it's that. It reminds me of the San. It's a higher version of the San Francisco thing. Like, okay, if Zach Ertz is the guy, that's great. But you're gonna add what, a second receiving tight end? What about all the receivers and the receiving running backs you have? Dallas Goedert is a guy to me that is annoying. He's not a guy that you draft and put in your starting lineup, and he takes away from people. He's a vulture.
Yeah. I think he's a little bit vulture-y for sure.
I don't like it.
And I think if most leagues, you know, you have a 12-man league, you're drafting maybe 14 to 15 tight ends total. I mean, maybe he's better than, you know, the number one tight end in wherever, you know, Oakland, the number one tight end in. I'm just saying, like, you know, the number one tight end in Buffalo, right? Like, he's going to have more, he's going to have better numbers than some starting tight ends, but he's still not going to be good enough to be starting on a week to week basis most weeks. I think he'll have big weeks, but I think that he'll have like whatever, five big weeks. And then his other 11 weeks will just be like, you know, the two catches for 19 yards guy. And, you know, people will be, especially if he starts out the year early, people will be snapping him up really quickly, expecting big things, and then he'll just be super up or down. Unless Ertz gets hurt, then we could see a huge year from him.
No.
The Jets have a significantly higher pace on offense, according to Connor Hughes of The Athletic. Do you like that?
Repeat it to me again.
The Jets have a significantly higher pace on offense.
Well, remember, what is it? What was their thing? It was culture over strategy. Do you see their tweet?
No.
Go put it in the Jets Twitter account.
God.
I swear to,
is it culture over strategy?
Watch. I swear to God. Type in Colts, and it is
Colts or Jets.
I'm sorry, Jets. Where is it? Oh, here it is. It's like the seventh tweet down.
All right.
It's right after.
My Twitter's acting really weird. Must be night mode.
Because you're on it.
Yeah. It's like, what is this?
What's happening?
What's happening right now? You're not using me. Let's see. Culture over.
It's right after, like, it shows the Buccaneers. It's right after a picture of the Buccaneers guys, and then there's some PSAL girls flag football. It's right under that one.
Okay, I see. Culture over strategy. Yeah, I see that.
This is their tweet. People.
Greg Williams culture beat strategy any day of the week. So, Greg Williams culture is go after the quarterback's knees.
Yeah. If by culture you mean pay players to injure others, then yeah, you are right. Hitmen usually do come out on top.
Bounties over strategy is what it should
Bounties
say.
Over morals. Greg Williams. He's a great leader. Oh,
man. Yeah, a couple other notes here. Chad Beebe is the possible front runner for the third wide receiver job in Minnesota.
Is he Don Beebe's son?
Yes, I think so. Chris Herndon is likely to be suspended for two games for DWI in January.
Culture over strategy.
Chris Herndon, I already said that one. Dwayne Haskins deserves a shot at starting week one, according to Jay Gruden. I like that.
Because why not?
Theo Riddick is on the roster bubble. Carson Wentz chemistry with D-Jax has been on point.
And Dallas Goedert and every other player on the Eagles got it.
James Conner says he expects the Steelers to spread out touches pretty evenly in the backfield.
Oh,
don't like that.
Death sentence.
And that's between him and Jalen Samuels. But oh. I think that you can't forget they also drafted Benny Snell, who is really good at Kentucky.
Oh.
So I think that Conner is going to get most of the run, though. I think he's saying that because he's probably standing next to Jalen Samuels or something.
Just a Pollyanna Bogman here.
Like, I just can't,
he's just a nice guy.
Dude, I just can't imagine that. Connor is just so much better than Samuels. And Samuels is good. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But Connor's really good.
Oh, that one makes me sick. It's gross. I hate it because I also have James Connor in it. Keeper league, but that's something we're going to have to tackle. July 1st, by the way, the ITL ranks are going out on Patreon. Bogman and I are going to be releasing our fantasy football ranks and things we have to consider. Final segment coming up. Don't go anywhere. More Bogman and the Welsh, at least for the final one, right here on In This League Live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends with the
in this league
in the dark?
Do you want two risk-free wagers of up to $1,000? Go to
yes.
pointsbet.com grid, Bogman. Thank you for the really creepy.
Yes.
pointsbet.com/grid and open up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID, G-R-I-D, and you're going to get two risk-free bets up to $1,000. I looked at that. I was like, risk bucks? Two risk-free bets of up to $1,000 in addition to traditional betting. PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet. For example, if you bet the Chargers -2.5 and they cover the spread by 8 points, you'll receive 8 times your stake. That's really cool. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter promo code GRID and get your two risk-free bets up to $1,000 today. That's actually pretty
cool. I like that
a lot. That is a fun concept. But what if they were like, you win 8 times, but you also lose 8 times if it goes the other way?
Well, just win.
Yeah. By the way, that rejoin we have, Endless Love, which I wish more people commented on. It's kind of a tradition. It's been for years.
My song to Leonard Fournette.
And Bogman is a stickler about it. Like, if it's not the final rejoin of the final segment, he loses his mind. And rightfully so. It is tradition. But did you see Adam Sandler hosted Saturday Night Live recently?
I didn't.
After a long time. They did what might be the worst skit I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
Conceptually, it sounds fun. Execution, it's embarrassing. Like, I had to look away. So what it is,
oh no,
it's the Sandler family reunion. Adam Sandler comes in, and the idea is, you know how Adam Sandler, the joke is always like, you know, hey, you know, this is what my grandpa sounds like. His entire family is all of his characters from movies. The concept sounds great. So, you know, his like niece or whatever, you know, his cousin is little Nicky. And then there's this character and that character. Every one of his family is a character. And they're like, oh, you're going to make a movie about me. And one of your next movies, a character about me. Here's the problem. Adam Sandler is not as funny anymore. And they have the entire unfunny cast of the current Saturday Night Live playing all of the characters. None of them can do impressions. So they're trying to be like, oogly boogly, hello, Adam Boogly. It's so bad to watch. And Leslie Jones plays, who's the golf caddy?
Oh, yeah, Chubbs.
Chubbs. He's like, Adam, I know you made this movie about me because first, my name is Chubbs. Second, I have a wooden hand. And third, I'm a golf instructor.
If you have to say who you are, probably not good. You
know? I want you to do that after the show. Everyone,
I wish that like, go watch. What they should have done with this is they should have had all of his friends, like Rob Schneider should have came in and played Little Nicky. You know what I mean?
Okay, two people came in, Box. Two.
Okay.
One was Kristen Wiig.
That'd be Schneider and Spade, right?
Nope. Kristen Wiig showed up, and it was his mom. And this was the funniest thing, where he's like, hey, mom, I'm going to go like do this. And here's what Kristen Wiig does. They're all going to laugh at you. That's all she says the whole time.
Oh, God.
It was kind of funny. Here's the worst. Not Jimmy Kimmel. Who's the other one?
Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon shows up and does
a character. He look directly into the camera and immediately start laughing?
He immediately starts laughing.
God.
Immediately starts
laughing. How did he get on Saturday Night Live?
I don't know. I don't know. It's one of the worst skits I've seen in a long time that has a really great concept. Go back and watch it. Go and watch it. Type it in Sandler Family Reunion and tell me I'm wrong. Every impression and every character is unbearable.
We can't watch Saturday Night Live stuff on YouTube, or at least you couldn't a while ago, because it was like it had to be from the SNL or the NBC side, and it was this whole thing.
I just saw it on Facebook, to be honest with you.
Anytime someone put up a clip of SNL on YouTube, it was immediately taken.
I think they've taken that off because no one watches the show anymore. Like Pete Davidson did the Little Nicky, and that was semi-tolerable. Go back and tell me if I'm wrong. It was really hard to watch.
I thought Pete Davidson was still crying about Ariana Grande.
No. Do you know he dated Kate Beckinsale?
He dated Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah. He had a little thing with Kate Beckinsale. Life's good for Pete Davidson. I know, right?
Yeah. I need to get skinny and have gray skin.
I mean, that's the formula.
That's what he has. That's what he's got going on.
Big weird eyes and big lips and be skinny and, you know.
He's just got to have depressed. That, you know.
I got the depression down. I don't
he's
got to
have that
it.
Big one. That's got to be what it is.
Yeah, it's usually unfortunate. That's sadly enough. But yeah, go back and look at...
not going to win him with that.
Sandler Family Reunion.
I got a 12-inch personality.
Cringe as you watch that bit. It's really bad. All right. We were doing some fantasy football. I have got... Oh, we were doing some just football news. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you. So I pulled up the fantasy football ranks over at Fantasy Pros. Mm-hmm. And I'm under PPR. We were just talking about James Conner. And that James Conner, it sounds like you don't buy into his statement of there's going to be plenty spread around. Currently,
I just don't think so.
James Conner is the 14th overall player, RB8. So he's got Lev Bell, David Johnson, Melvin Gordon, probably things you're not going to necessarily disagree with. On the ranks, though, you know, Michael Thomas, Odell, who's wide receiver 5, is above him, and Travis Kelce is even above him on Fantasy Pros. You look at this. You look at this James Conner situation. At RB8.
James Conner, which you hate because he missed 3 games last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so I'm fine with it. He only did it once.
Well, he also missed games with cancer. Do those count, the Welsh?
Nope.
No?
Don't count. Okay. He wasn't a full-time guy.
All right.
He's okay. But hearing these things, does it worry you to the point of here are some players that are behind him? Here are running backs that are behind him. Joe Mixon, Todd Gurley, Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb. Do you think the worry warrants any of or all of those players going ahead of James Conner and James Conner now being more of a back-end RB, back-end second-round pick?
No. I just don't. He's still going to be the main guy. To me, I don't think that's going to be taken away from him. He still scored 13 touchdowns last season in 13 games.
But they didn't implement any of what he's talking about right now.
Yeah, but he missed 3 games and he still scored 13 touchdowns. So,
yeah, but those 13 games, he wasn't challenged. There was no other guy.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be split evenly. I just don't. I think it's going to be like Jalen Samuels will get like 15 snaps a game. But, you know, Connor's still going to get most of the run. So I'm just not scared about this at all.
You're acting like he's a prisoner. Like they're sitting there and they're like, yeah, James, tell him.
You're acting like he said it. So it must be true.
Well, I'm just saying, James, it wasn't like someone's like a beat reporter.
Why would people lie on the internet? No one lies in the preseason, right?
Okay, but it's not like a beat reporter's like, hey, I think this is going to happen. James Connor's like, yeah, this looks like this is going to be split pretty evenly.
It's not. It's not going to be split evenly. He's the better running back, dude.
I don't disagree with that at all.
He's the better. Yeah, but when you're the better running back, you're going to get most of the run. Maybe it comes back a little bit from him, but the guys that you wanted to put ahead of him or you were saying, do I put them ahead? Like Dalvin Cook? I mean, you talk about injury problems. Dalvin Cook has missed tons of games.
What about the other ones? What about Gurley?
Gurley, I could see going ahead of him. Sure, yeah. And I have Gurley ahead of him.
Joe Mixon.
Mixon is a question too. Yeah, I think that you can put him in that. Like Mixon and Chubb, I would be okay if you put Connor at the bottom of that list. That would be okay. I think they're on that tier. I don't think Cook cracks it.
Okay.
And I like
Dalvin. Well, that's one of the four then. Then what about the wideouts? I mean, do you buy Michael Thomas?
No, I don't want the wideouts. I want the running back. So I'm going to have the running backs ranked higher than the wideouts.
So he's like a wheel guy to you, because it sounds like you're going to have him at like R. You could have him at RB.
I have David Johnson ahead of him, Todd Gurley ahead of him, Bell, I think I'll have ahead of him. Bell and Connor are probably
What non-running backs go above him?
Hopkins.
That's it. Hopkins.
That's all. Hopkins. Nuke. That's it. That, to be honest, Nuke is going to be my only first round wideout. But that's kind of been my strategy forever in redraft. Like nothing's going to really change there. I want the running backs.
It makes me mad seeing Travis Kelce in the first round.
Travis Kelce's 11
overall. He's really good. 11 overall.
And yeah, tight end.
Haven't we learned?
1,400 yards?
When's the last time a tight end went in the first round and returned first round value?
Gronk.
He returned it when he went in the
first? Yeah, one of those years he did. Yeah. He had 103 catches for 1,336 yards and 10 scores.
One time.
And that was on 150 targets.
Remember
when
Jimmy Graham went in the first?
Tyreek Hill is going to be gone for a big chunk of the season, we think. You know, maybe at least four games. So, I don't know. I'm not taking Kelce in the first round. But I don't despise it. I get people's strategy. Like, if you can get a big chunk of scoring out of your tight end, but you know, how are you going to, you're going to have to magically find a running back. And I feel like there's going to be more tight ends on the wire that can perform at a high level at some point than there are running backs. You know, maybe you can get a running back when one of the other ones goes down, but like in our leagues, the Welsh, we play in deeper leagues. Those running backs are taken. It is a barren wasteland. If your guy gets hurt, you need to trade for somebody.
Yeah. I mean, again, usually I'm not trying to sit here, by the way, and anti-advocate for James Conner. You know, I'm not trying to say James Conner needs to be out of there. Can I'm just saying.
Why do you hate James Conner?
I love James Conner. I own him.
I don't think you do.
I don't like those words. I don't like that they want to use two backs. One is a lesser of a back, and I don't like hearing James Conner be the one that's like, yeah, I think it's going to be split.
What about the stuff that I said? Well, what about the stuff that I said before where Jalen Samuels coming out of NC State was more of an H-back, so they could split him out, play him at tight end. And by the way, they split out Connor as well.
But his words didn't say, I think me and Jalen will split it. I think it'll be split pretty even. That could also mean Benny Snell.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
James Connor gets 13 carries. Benny Snell gets 7, and Samuels gets 5, plus Samuels plays a bigger portion in the passing game. That's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. I just don't think it's going to happen because I think.
What will it take for you to believe that it's happening?
Week one, it happens.
So you'll not believe it till I see it in the draft.
Yep. Okay. I will not believe it till I see it because Connor is the best back and you keep your best players on the field. We've seen him do it with Bell. We saw him do it with Connor last year until, admittedly, He missed three games, and maybe they want to take a little bit of the load off of him. So, you know, they peel his carries back a little bit, but at that point it is a change of pace back in a main guy. It's not a split even thing. And I just don't see it being a split even thing because James Conner is one of the best backs in the league to me. So, I really like him, and I think that he is going to be the guy seeing the majority of the snaps at running back.
It's going to be a good conversation to have. ITL Fantasy Football Podcast coming back, so make sure you're dialed in as we get guests. We have debates. We go through ranks. We have mock drafts, all that type of stuff. Camp standout. Speaking of, you know, this is a time where people are going to start separating. You don't want to go too crazy with camp type of news, but it is always interesting seeing where the standouts lie because it could be some relative early determinations of specifically this list you have, too, of low-valued players that could have higher returns.
Right. I think the biggest one I saw out of all these is probably Marquez Valdes-Scantling. It seems like he's going to be the number two next to Devontae Adams in the Packers offense. So, and he's already stood out. We've had nice comments from Aaron Rodgers about him, and we've heard, you know, coaches say that, you know, this system kind of helps guys like MVS. So I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling, probably the biggest standout so far. A lot of praise for DK Metcalf and David Moore out of Seattle camp. And we expect these guys to play anyway, but the thing is that Russell Wilson was complimenting DK Metcalf. And I know, you know, just like you read that comment off before, you know, the rookies and all that stuff. You've never seen a bad rookie at this point in the offseason, of course. But I like that it wasn't Pete Carroll, because Pete Carroll doesn't talk smack about anybody.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I'm not sure Russell Wilson does either, though.
Sure. Yeah, and probably not, but he said he can do everything, and he's looked great so far.
Yeah, what
so
that builds is confidence. Like, if you have the quarterback having confidence in a player, that's really good, especially when he didn't beat around the bush. Like, yeah, you know, Metcalf is still learning. I think we're going to build a rapport. He didn't do anything like that. He's like, no, he can do all this stuff.
Yeah, and then in Pittsburgh camp, they're saying that Deontay Johnson is just catching everything thrown his way.
Is he going to, but didn't they do this with James Washington last year too? Like, is James Washington going to be a thing, or is Deontay going to ruin this?
They've done it 3 years in a row, and you got Juju 1 year, and then you got James Washington the next year.
Well, hopefully, so, we don't know if you're going to get James Washington this year.
Well, what I'm saying is they said Juju was great and then he had a great rookie year.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
Then they said James Washington was great and he had a terrible rookie year.
Horrible year.
And now they're saying Deontay Johnson looks great.
So, okay, by averages, you're saying he's going to have to do it every other year. It's like the Giants.
If it's every other year, he's great. If they're just wrong, then he's not going to be on it. It's going to be tough for him to see the field because they signed Dante Moncrief too. And Moncrief is a veteran. So it's going to
be Moncrief. Moncrief or James Washington this year?
I would probably say Moncrief, to be honest with you.
Ugh.
I mean, to be honest, the second wide receiver is going to be a tough one to figure out in Pittsburgh until you see it happen.
You got to invest before you get, unless you mean like in early camps and
no, I mean,
games.
I think I want no part of the second wide receiver in Pittsburgh until, you know, you're picking them up.
Give us, we got about like 1 minute, so give us like another guy or two quick.
I like Byron Pringle in the Chiefs offense. Obviously, a lot of people thinking about Mecole Hardman, but Pringle was a free agent signee last season. He returns kicks as well. He's very underrated because he had bad quarterbacks at Kansas State. Other than that, the other guys, Gerald Everett from the Rams, Troy Fumagalli from the Broncos, Tajae Sharp from the Titans, Chris Conley from the Jags, maybe. Yeah. Just because you got a new coaching staff in there, you got a new quarterback in there, and he's got to pick his favorite wide.
I feel like all we do is look at all the Jags wide receiver, and we're like, oh, they're like sleepers there. No, they're not.
Everybody picks Dede Westbrook. That's the thing this year. It's just everybody's picking Westbrook.
I'd rather pick Westbrook than Chris Conley.
To be honest, I don't want any.
I mean, I don't want any.
Give me Leonard Fournette, and that's it.
Yeah, give me none of them. That's where I would like to go with it, especially not Nick Foles or any of that. All right, fellas, that is all that we got for you here on this edition of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for 3 hours. If you missed any of it, you can go catch the podcast over on Spotify or iHeartRadio or anywhere the podcasts are. All of our other In This League content is out in the universe. You just got to search for it. You can follow us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh and at Bogman Sports, or come have fun in the audio universe. That is our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Secret shows, ranks, group me rooms, chats, all that stuff. And you're directly supporting your boys, so we appreciate it. Until then, have a great one. NBA draft is coming up this week. NBA finals is over. More baseball, football, it's all happening, and we're out of here.
Peace.
Sorry.